Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member, FINRA/SIPC. Registered representative, securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member, FINRA/SIPC. Investment Advisor Representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Fujiyama Wealth Management and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Junko Horvath, another episode of Junko's Health, Wealth, and Happiness Hour, brought to you by our good friends at Fujiyama Wealth Management. Welcome, Junko. How you been?
Great. I'm so busy, like crazy mad woman. I'm doing well.
A lot going on. You have a lot of family in town?
No.
Not anymore?
Yeah, no, not anymore after Thanksgiving. No.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Are you going on any plans to travel?
Travel 3 times in January. So, yeah.
Where are you going?
New York, Baltimore, and Philadelphia.
For work or for pleasure?
Both.
Both.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And I want to take off, but because Chris is taking off.
Oh.
Well, Christmas, I cannot. Yeah.
Well, we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
So who do you have with you today?
Okay, so I have 2 wonderful guests, Patricia Amari and Elizabeth Harrington. And my first guest is Patricia.
Thank you for having me, Junko. I appreciate it.
Yeah, welcome. So Patricia is an elder law and a special need attorney from Amari Firm. So Patricia, tell me exactly what do you do?
So I help families with the issues that arise as they age. So, for example, I help families with estate planning, like wills, but I also help with long-term care planning. So I help families pay for the expensive costs of long-term care. And long-term care basically just means, you know, that care that you get ongoing for, you know, a condition like dementia or Parkinson's or something like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's people coming into your home, and Elizabeth can talk about that. And then also sometimes it's in a skilled nursing setting. So I help families qualify for Medicaid and other benefits to help pay for that.
That's great. Yeah. So how long have you been doing that?
So I've been doing that I started in 2011 when my mom got sick. So before that, I was a big bad litigator. And now I help families. And I really enjoy this work. When my mom got sick, I became an elder law attorney, like it or not. And it really was so rewarding. And now it means a lot to me to be able to help families going through those difficult times.
Interesting. So what do you like best about your work?
It's being able to help families in a difficult time. So, you know, there are so many pressures on caregivers, and they're just such wonderful people who give of their time and attention and of themselves so deeply. And when they come into these legal issues or financial issues, they don't really know where to turn. And so I can make that part just a little bit better for them. And so that's my favorite part of what I do.
I see. And what's the most challenging part of your job?
I think the most challenging part is that no 2 cases are the same, because every individual's health is different, every individual's finances are different, every family dynamic is different. So, no 2 cases are alike. So it keeps me on my toes. Yeah. So it is challenging. And I guess that's part of the joy of it as well, though, because, you know, it also keeps me on my toes. And you know,
yeah, that's so great. And mm-hmm. How about for the most rewarding part of a job? So give some stories or true stories.
Right. Yeah. So recently, one of the other parts of my elder law practice is guardianship. And recently, I was able to help a family who the lady's sister was in need of a guardianship. She was in a really rough place, and we were able to get that guardianship and get her the care that she needed.
What's a guardianship?
A guardianship is when a person's no longer able to make reasonable and responsible significant decisions for themselves, the family actually has to go to court to have someone named to be able to make those decisions. So sometimes an advance directive and a power of attorney can cover that, and sometimes it can't. And in this particular instance, there weren't documents there to help that individual. And so the family had to step in, and the court will give that responsibility to someone else. People are, you know, used to hearing guardianship with kids because you are your parent child's natural guardian. And so it's much like that. And sometimes we have to become our parents' guardian to help get them the care that they need. And so I was able to help that family. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the person was, you know, her health was very much at risk. And so it really was a life-saving thing that we did. And we were able to get her help. And the family was so very grateful. And it was just so nice to be able to play a part in that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that the court decide, or you the family goes to the court with something from doctor's office, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. So there's a couple of ways to do it. Yeah. But you do have to file something with the court. And you can either have two individuals apply to the court, or if you only have one individual, then you do have to have an affidavit from a doctor.
Oh, I see.
And then the court doesn't want to take, when you give someone the rights to take care of you, you're also taking those rights away from the individual. And the court doesn't want to do that, you know, willy-nilly. And the problem is, you know, the court doesn't know you, so they don't know that you're acting, you know, in this person's best interest. And unfortunately, while most of the folks going through the guardianship process are doing it for the right reasons, occasionally that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So we have several safety provisions in that process. And one of those provisions is that there is an evaluation that happens. The court goes out, has an evaluator go out and evaluate the situation. That individual gets appointed an attorney. And so if they want to object to it, they're able to. And then the court holds really what is a mini trial. It's a hearing, but it's really a mini trial where the family puts on evidence to show that this is necessary. So it's you know, a multi-step process.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, at what age should, I guess, the children of these senior parents, like, when should you start having conversations with you or elder law attorney? Like, to be kind of proactive so that things don't sneak up on you when there's a crisis and now you're scrambling and you got to deal with something.
Absolutely. You know, and that's where the whole crystal ball comes in play. And unfortunately, we don't have one. No, I wish I did. And so the idea is you want to get that planning in place before there's an event. And for some folks, those events don't happen until their 70s and 80s. But unfortunately, sometimes with early onset Alzheimer's, those things can happen in your 50s. So it's really important to kind of get ahead of it. We might not do significant planning in the 50s, but if we just get the appropriate documents like the power of attorney that provides the ability to do the planning if necessary, that's you know, a great step. And for folks in their 60s, if they think that they do want to plan, it probably is a really good time to go ahead and, you know, put, you know, some of that planning in place. And if you do it ahead of time, you can do what we call pre-planning, and we can protect a lot more assets when we do the pre-planning than we can when there's already a crisis, because there are look-back periods that both Medicaid and the VA have when it comes to planning. So they will, you know, look at what you've done, and if it's been done in a certain period, there may be some penalties involved, which are fine. But, you know, if you can avoid those penalties, it's even better if you can.
Now, do you help your clients kind of navigate the VA and the benefits that are available through them?
Yes, so we can definitely do that. You know, most often the benefit that we're helping them with is something called improved pension with aid in attendance. And basically that's for wartime veterans. And those wartime veterans can be eligible for some assistance. And that assistance usually helps well when the person is either in assisted living or they are having someone come into their home. And it helps supplement their care. And it can sometimes help their income be enough with that additional VA income that they're not having to dip into what savings they do have. And so that can be very helpful. And when we're talking about a skilled nursing setting, then typically we're often looking at Medicaid because the VA is limited in the amount that they provide, whereas Medicaid, the assistance is much greater in the appropriate circumstances.
And what kind business situations bring the most of the client many times. But maybe many people come to see you for the same kind of, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I got to be honest, a lot of folks don't like to think about these things ahead of time. So, you know, the pre-planning part is probably only about 10% of my practice. Yeah. Most of what I'm doing is what we call crisis planning. Mm. And when it comes to, you know, so that means that either there's been already been a diagnosis, and so we know that there's going to be care at some point, maybe not quite yet, or sometimes the person needs care immediately and they need my help. And then the other side of it is with the guardianship. You know, they come to us at the point where there's a problem and they've run into something that they can't do either because they don't have the appropriate documents in place or the documents just aren't enough in that circumstance. And so then, you know, we're helping them with those issues.
Do most people think that this is something they can handle without an expert?
I think most people don't even know that there are experts out there to help them with this sort of thing. And I think that's the hardest thing, which is why I love to come out and talk to groups or come on the radio and let people know that, hey, there are actually things out there for you, resources out there, things that you can get, assistance, planning that can be done, because sometimes people get bad advice. And so, you know, it is important to get that word out that planning actually can be done, and that, you know, there are a lot of great elder law attorneys out there, including us, willing to help with those circumstances. I practiced law for a number of years before I even really knew much about elder law.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you were in the law.
And I was in the law. So we can't expect, you know, lay people to know it, you know.
So when you went through that transition where you were practicing one type of law and then you had the situation with your mom, what were some of the things that you were like, I can't believe that this is this complicated? Like you must have run into all kinds of things that were surprising.
Yes. And it is so overwhelming, I think, for families to have to go through the process to apply for the benefits and to kind of make all that work. I was very surprised at how difficult it is. My clients come in and they're like, this is just so hard, you know. And when I walk them through everything and you know, when we've gone through the process, they're like, oh, well, now I understand it really is this difficult and I needed this help and I'm so glad I got it, because it is very difficult. And, you know, unfortunately, there are in the government, there are a lot of hardworking folks who are trying their very, very best, but resources are limited. And so, you know, it makes it difficult for them to be able to get through everything. So sometimes it takes a while and there are multiple steps that we go through to help folks get through it. And
the forms, they have to be filled out exactly right. Like one mistake can be a setback, right? And you...
Yes. I mean, and particularly with the VA, I mean, you always want to put forth your best foot. You want to give them every reason to say yes from the get-go, because, you know, once they get confused or something's wrong, it really slows things down. So it is, you know, important that things are done in a particular way. And on the guardianship side, if, you know, you don't prove your case, then it's another 2 years before you can go back and try again unless there's been some sort of significant change.
Right. So that really could important. Be life or death.
Exactly. It can.
Yeah. And you also help the Medicaid patient, like, for example, if somebody had money, so they went into assisted living, and that assisted living cost was paid by, say, long-term care, but the coverage is finishing up because the period of the coverage is, say, 3 years, and 3 years is going up, and, oh my gosh, we have no money to pay off of that. You help those people, and what kind of advice do you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I do is I get to know my client really well. I have, you know, a lot of questions for them, documents that I need and whatnot. And then I can do a number of things. If they just want an evaluation, I can give them an evaluation and tell them exactly where they are, what benefits they would qualify for, and what we need to do to get them qualified for those benefits. Sometimes they need to have those benefits immediately, in which case we'll do the planning for them, the evaluation, the planning, the application, you know, all that, all the way through with Medicaid until we get that approval. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to ask for a hearing or two in order to get to that place, and all that's included as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything like kind of common mistakes people make, or like kind of the low-hanging fruit that anybody could do on their own before calling you?
So common mistakes are a nursing home might tell someone, well, you know, pay all your money to Medicaid, and then when you only have $2,000, come back and see us. And then they come and see me, and then, you know, there's not much that can be done at that point because they've already spent all of their money. But if they'd have come in to me earlier, we could talk about what their options were, and that's not their only option. Mm-hmm. And so we might be able to protect something, you know, those types of things. So that's a big one. And then sometimes they'll go to the VA, and the VA will say, well, you don't qualify. Well, there may be some things that we can do in order to help them be qualified. And so a lot of times people might ask those first questions. They get negative answers, and they give up.
And they just quit.
And they just quit, understandably, because they don't know that there's more out there.
Now, are there, do you believe, like, some sort of long-term care that everybody should have that at some point?
So, you know, the numbers, when you look at, like, the Alzheimer's Association numbers and, you know, different numbers put out by some government agencies, a lot of folks are going to have long-term care at some point in their life. Most folks are going to have some sort of long-term care at some point in their life. Now, that may not mean a nursing home. That may mean someone coming into your home. Because ideally, everyone, the new term is age in place. Mm-hmm. People want to stay at home, you know, and if they can do that with help, that's what they want to do. But yes, you know, so it makes sense to put things in place. If you're young enough and you're healthy enough, long-term care insurance is a wonderful thing that can help pay for services like the ones that Elizabeth is going to talk about in a few moments. And so, you know, looking into those things. Another thing, you know, for folks that, you know, have a significant, you know, amount of wealth, they can talk with a financial planner like Junko about being able to self-pay through that process, you know, self-fund that long-term care by planning and saving for it. So there are different ways of going about things. And so there's not a one size fits all because everyone's situation is different. But I think everyone really should think about it because when they don't, I mean, so many people, they may have a couple $100,000 saved. But then if you are in a nursing home for 2 years, you could spend a couple $100,000 and it's all gone. And so it makes sense to do some planning.
So now, are you the appropriate person to have those conversations with, or is that my financial advisor?
So I think it's a partnership. There are certain pieces of it that only the financial planner can do. And there are certain parts of it that really only the attorney can do, the legal pieces and the legal documents that go along with that, and the evaluation of the laws. So whereas Junko could help make sure that you have saved in an appropriate way in order to handle those things, and you should have those conversations with her, you also want to have conversations with me to put the appropriate documents in place and then also do an evaluation with respect to the laws, whether it be VA or Medicaid, and what those laws, how those laws apply to what you have.
Very interesting. And there are so many people, you know, I mean, it used to be like living until age 80, and then somebody passed away, like, oh, they had a good life, long life. Now it's somebody passed away, like 85. People say, oh, too young, you know, it's just so changing.
Yes.
And what do you think of the future perspective of the America, you know, aging population in Japan, where I'm from? It's like, I think it's most aged country in the world, you know, but America is following.
We are.
So how do they handle it in Japan?
So so now before two adults were supporting one senior, now to support one senior, four people are supporting one senior, and it's going to be two young people have to support one senior. So it's really bad.
But does the family take responsibility?
Yeah, family takes responsibility. Sometimes they have to quit from working because somebody has to take care. And in Japan, we don't have as much assisted living like we do here. And it's actually, care is much cheaper, you know, than here. But family takes a lot of
responsibility. But then they move in with the kids or something?
Yeah, they do that. Here, not so much. People go to assisted living or just hire a nurse.
Yeah.
But what do you think in the future?
Right.
Know?
Well, we call it the silver tsunami. Well, what's happening is every day there are baby boomers that are turning 65. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, a lot of the baby boomers are still taking care of their parents. Mm-hmm. But as they continue to age, we're going to have such a large senior population that we're going to run into a lot of the things that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I do see a fair amount of families that are bringing in their loved ones, their senior loved ones. You know, it sort of depends on finances because, you know, those that have the wealth to be able to do the assisted living do. And those that don't, you know, are coming up with those alternative methods, whether it's a family member staying home and looking out for them, whether they are applying for Medicaid benefits to have some assistance with someone coming into the home. There are just so many different ways that these situations can work for folks.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So you can find me at www.elderlawatlanta.com. And it's 678-609-3230 at the Amari Firm.
Repeat that.
www.elderlawatlanta.com. And it's 678-609-3230.
Great.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's so important, your work that you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful. And I brought my parents from Japan 4.5 years ago. So we take care.
They live with you?
Yeah.
So you are a caregiver.
Yeah, I am. And they don't speak English, so I had to find a Japanese, you know, helper. And it's, yeah, lots of challenges. And they are not covered by Medicare.
Right.
Because they never chipped into the American system. So... You know, yeah.
So you should hang out with Patricia Lumen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She'll take good care of you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Next up, we got.
So, yeah. Go next guest is Elizabeth Harrington from, she's Executive Vice President of the Angel Companions. So,
yes,
what
thank
does
you.
Angel Companions do?
We provide caregivers in the home for the sick and elderly all over Metro Atlanta. So we're there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We can come in and help them.
Wow. And how did you start? It's a hard industry. It's
absolutely. Yeah. We have a lot of competition, actually, all over Georgia. There's a lot of agencies out there. But the company started 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. The two owners, Philip Caltabiano and Bill Harris, started the program, and they are actually brother-in-laws. So they both have a strong business background and wanted to come in the industry and do a really good job, set it up, you know, well, get great caregivers out there and do a good job, but a compassionate job.
I see. And how many caregivers do you have?
We have a lot of caregivers that live all over Metro Atlanta. So we have over 300 caregivers currently.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How do you manage all of that? And how do you train them?
So, yeah, it's a lot of management and a lot to do, but we love what we do. So they're all certified nurse aides, CNAs like you see in the hospitals. Mm-hmm. Then they can come in under our licensure as an in-home care company and help with bathing, dressing, grooming, meal prep, light housekeeping. Oh. They'll go out and run errands, take them to doctor's appointments, you know, things like that. We can even provide sitter services in the hospital if you're worried about your loved one in the hospital and you can't or you're exhausted. We have clients that are just exhausted from being there up during the day, up during the night. We can come in overnight and sit with those people in the hospitals to make sure that they're not getting out of bed and wandering down the hall.
I see.
Now, do you help with make sure they take their medication?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Medication reminders. Absolutely. And the state, we're mandated by the Department of Community Health, so we have lots of rules and regulations regarding medications, for example.
Now, where is that? Because your work is non-medical, right?
Correct.
So where is the line for that? Like handing someone a pill is okay or not okay? Or like giving them an injection is not okay?
excellent question. So there's certain things that can come into your home. Okay. There is hospice that comes into the home, which most people know a little bit about, and is a great program. Then there's home health. So they can do things invasive, IVs. They have the nurses, the physical therapy, the occupational therapy, and that's all covered by Medicare, like Patricia was speaking about earlier. And then there's us, and we can come in and we have our limits with that certified nurse aide. And one of them is the medication that you were just talking about. So for example, they must be in a pill divider Monday through Sunday set out. And if there isn't family, like we were talking about earlier, that lives close by, you know, in the United States, we have family members that we communicate with here when we're caring for somebody in Atlanta, and their closest family member is out in California.
Right.
So what we do is you can have a pharmacist set up and bubble wrap those medications so that everything that's Monday morning and it, you know, 8 a.m. is all packaged together for them to pop out. And as long as that's done, our caregivers can go in there and make sure and hand them that medication and make sure and watch them take it. They can, you know, make sure that they have the water, the food, whatever's needed.
So, but they can't do an injection.
They cannot do an injection.
Right. But they can make sure that whatever the prescription is, that they properly took it. Because
correct.
That's a challenge for a lot
huge.
Of elder people, right?
That absolutely.
They don't remember if they took their medicine or they took twice or something.
Exactly. If you think about it, having somebody in the home to come in and check in on your mom and dad is huge because, you know, the doctor can prescribe medication, but do they take it?
Right.
Mm. And do they take it correctly?
Right. So that, to me, is one of the big value that
absolutely.
You guys provide. And now, for you, when you're doing this and you're working with the families, is it usually in the same, like Patricia was saying, it's some crisis, something happened and they don't know where to turn. And all of a sudden it's like, now I got to deal with my parents.
Yes. Most of the time it's, oh, mom's in the hospital. You know, she had a fall. Or dad, you know, is getting more and more forgetful and, you know, he left the stove on overnight,
right.
Things like that. But we can turn things around very quickly, get services in there and get started. But it's the kids who are calling us. On occasion, we have parents calling us, the actual
like
care.
For the spouse?
Yes, for the spouse. But normally it is the kids calling concerned about mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to talk mom and dad into that because mom and dad will say,
I'm fine.
Right.
What
I got this.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You know, they don't know that maybe they're taking their medications, as an example, wrong. Or they're not going to tell you that they fall, you know, in and out or they can't get in and out of the bath. They'll say, oh, I'm okay. I'm taking a little bird bath, you know. But they're too scared to get in and out of that shower on their own.
Right.
Yeah. But see, if the kids are all over the country, you know, and they don't see the parents enough, I mean, how do they,
exactly.
You know,
we get really busy around this time of year. Mm-hmm. Holidays. Think about it. You're coming in to see people for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you go in and you see your parents and you're saying, oh, my gosh, you know, I didn't realize. Or the neighbors come over and say, hey, I had to pick him up off the ground. He had been laying there for an hour,
right.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
So our services, you know, we can do small you know, shifts where we come out and we check in on them, like, let's say Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And we can come out as little as 5 hours. So if a caregiver comes out, they can go in, get them up, make sure they've taken their medications, give them a meal, make sure they're bathed, dressed, groomed. And that saves the family a lot of money when you're looking at it from a financial perspective versus 24/7 in an assisted living.
Absolutely.
So we can start off small and grow with them as it's needed.
Then what happens if sometimes I know from my client, like, oh, I don't like that caregiver. Like, you know, then what happens? Then do you change?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we don't just put a caregiver out there. We'll check in within the first 2 days because we want them to kind of mesh themselves.
Yeah.
And we'll call the client first, check in, hey, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll go and we'll call the caregiver, hey, how's it going? Mm-hmm. Get some feedback, tweak, edit a few things, you know, stuff like that. And then to your question, what if I don't like my caregiver? Well, with an agency, you have other options. So we'll say, hey, you know, let's not say anything to the caregiver yet. Let me see who we can find a better caregiver, maybe one who is more talkative, less talkative. You know, it's the little little things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're coming into your home.
And they're there maybe a 12-hour shift, right?
Yeah,
you want that connection.
Yeah, I know that. It's not easy.
Different personality. So you want to connect that. And so, yeah, I love the business because it's a combination of business, but there's so much emotion and so much personal. You're in people's homes.
Yeah, that's right. What's the biggest challenges? The challenge in the industry or what you do?
In the industry, that's a very good question. For what we do, you know, on a day-to-day basis is, you know, when we have all these clients going to all these different locations, you know, all of that, we want to make sure we're giving the best customized care to everybody. So we have lots of clients we're taking care of, but I want to treat them like they're my only client.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, if they call in, I want to know, you know, when Patricia calls in with her married name, right, and her name, I want to know who she's connected to, and I want everybody in my office to know who that is. So as the company has grown, we want to make sure that everybody that is a client who calls in, everyone in the office is very well aware. We don't separate them. So we have case managers, and we meet every morning to make sure that everybody knows what's going on in the office. So if anything happened overnight, we have an emergency line. So if anything happens overnight, we know what goes on. We review that in the meeting, and we make sure that everybody knows everything about every client.
Wow. Now, is it hard to get caregivers? Is that a challenge? Is that going to be a challenge for America?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what does our future hold, right?
Yeah,
we were kind of talking about that earlier, that it's going to be difficult. There is a difficult issue when we're speaking about the baby boomers coming in. There's not enough doctors for baby boomers. Mm. There's not enough nurses for baby boomers, and not enough caregivers for baby boomers as well. So what, you know, what is that future? So my challenge is to find the best caregivers and, you know, develop caregivers. Find people who might be interested. You know, I think it's a very important thing in this community to talk about love and care and get back to a family-oriented kind
of community.
Do you get the caregivers from outside of the United States?
A lot of our caregivers come from different areas, and a lot of our caregivers have come from Africa, the Philippines. We have a lot of caregivers that come in that they're used to that, right? Mm. You know, like you said, generations of families living together. It's a little different than here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So they have that natural ability. They're used to seeing grandma every morning, right, before they went off to school versus us. Grandma's, like I said, out in California or in another state. Yeah. So they have that natural way, and then they can come here and get that certified nursing aid licensure.
I see.
We really work hard to find the best caregivers, and that is definitely a challenge for us and any agency.
Yeah, exactly. And you also have a visa issue, I guess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is that you help them with that?
She said a vision issue?
No,
visa issue.
Visa, working visa.
Yes. So when they come in here to the United States, we make sure that they already have that, obviously, and we interview them. We make sure, you know, that they go in and they get that CNA license. Uh-huh. We help point them in the right direction for that. Uh-huh. We make sure that they have, have gotten a BLS heart, you know, and CPR training, all of those types of things before they ever go in the home. And then we insure them and bond them and to make sure that they are safe in the home too. Background checks are done as well. But yes, it is going to be a challenge, I think, for everyone in the United States to find good quality care from doctors, nurses, and caregivers down when these baby boomers need the services.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that a lot of times the elder person does this begrudgingly, like they don't think there's a need, and the kid cares and wants to make sure everything's okay.
Absolutely.
And then how do you make that work with the caregiver? Because the caregiver is kind of, you know, their heart's in the right place and they're trying to do the best they can. But they're in, I don't want to say a hostile environment, but in not a most welcome environment all the time.
Exactly. And they're, you know, sadly enough, they're used to it.
Really?
You know, the caregivers are. And one thing that we do, again, when we're talking to the families on the phone, we go out, we'll meet with the families. I go out myself. We have a staff that goes out and meets with them. And we kind of talk about it. And we go ahead and meet usually with the kids and the parents, and we talk about what our services are. You know, that, you know, if you don't, if you're not happy, you can stop services. Now, if, you know, dad goes out and says, okay, and in 2 weeks he calls us to stop services, then we call the kids and say, hey, you know, nobody's going to be at dad's. He's canceling service.
Right. Heads up.
You know, heads up. So that's that customization. That's that personal touch that we're constantly having to hold on to and connect with. And so, yes, it is. That's where all that customizing comes in, is because it is a challenge. And then we have to talk to the caregivers and say, hey, you know, woo dad. We talk to the kids. We say, you know, what is he like? Oh, take him to Walmart. Let him go down every aisle in Walmart, you know, right. Or take him to Home Depot and just let him cruise down the aisles. He'll be happy as I'll get out. So we get some tips from the kids on how to bond them a little bit.
So now I'm sure over time, at first maybe they're resistant, but after a while they're like, well, this is making my life easier.
Absolutely.
Right? And light bulb goes off at some point, right?
Absolutely. So after usually those first couple of visits, hey, this is pretty good, you know? Right, I'm liking this. And the kids are calling going, this is awesome. This is great. So that's usually what happens. Mm. You know, we get in there, we get started, and, oh, you know, I should have had you a year ago, right? Mm. So just like with Patricia's situation, people come in sometimes in that emergency phase, mm-hmm. and they could have been getting good quality care. We have clients, you know, please don't leave us, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Things like that. So,
yeah.
And then if a person needs care 24 hours, that's an option as well. Like you can flex to whatever the situation is.
Absolutely. So there's two ways you can go with that. One is you can do 2 12-hour shifts. So we have a day mm-hmm. caregiver coming in, mm-hmm. let's say 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then we have somebody at night coming in if the client isn't sleeping. 8P to 8A and allow that family to sleep. Family can go on and do their day-to-day lives, coming in to see mom and dad as they please and as they want to, but they're not locked in. They can still get off and go to work, go check in on the kids, go pick up kids from school, and have that freedom to do that. So that's one option. There's also live-in. Live-in means the client is able to sleep through the night, may get up once or twice during the night to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a price break because the caregiver will have a bed to sleep in. She'll listen out, maybe monitors, mm-hmm. you know, are in there so she can hear if the client starts to get up or the client would call out to get up. But they can come in, and then there's a price break for the live-in because mm-hmm. that caregiver is going to stay there and sleep there. Getting up once or twice during the night, and that's a nice option as well. But it just mm-hmm. depends on where your parents are, right, in the situation. So, again, we can start as little as 5 hours and grow to a 2 12-hour shift or live in. And like you said, you know, if you had that crystal ball to know, nobody knows. Mm-hmm. But what you want to do is get services, get in there, and get started. And we've had clients who've had great care, started taking their medications correctly, started doing all the things they're supposed to, and they've gotten to a good place where they don't need us anymore. Hmm. So we may stop for 6 months, and then we may get back in again later on down the road.
And then it's a situation where if they start and they, like you said, you flex to whatever the need is, and then they don't need you, or if they have to go to assisted living, the pricing is dramatically different, right?
Correct, correct.
So, like, this is to invest in your service saves tons of money.
Absolutely, because you're looking at 3 days a week. You know, maybe you start out, right, 5 hours, so you're paying for 15 hours of service versus 24/7. So if you could get in there and get the care that mom needs, right, and always say 3 days a week, like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because a lot of our clients were getting in there to start their bathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not mm-hmm. bathing well, or they're scared mm-hmm. to get in and out of the shower, falls, history of falls. And if you can get a good bath on a Monday, mm-hmm. Wednesday, and a Friday, I think you're good to go, you know?
Right.
They're not going out running down the road like us and exercising.
I see, like, many older people, they don't even want to take baths 3 times a week.
Because they're afraid to fall.
It's a work to take.
It's exhausting.
Right. Yeah, I can even tell when my father takes bath, my mother gives a bath. Then that day he's tired. I can tell that.
Right.
He doesn't want to open.
So a lot of times, you know, just the breathing or the physical, you know, the breathing is an issue. We have a lot of clients on oxygen. So we, you know, we have to take off the oxygen to get them in the tub, right? Exactly. And so think about that. So as a breathing issue, it wears them out. There's fall risk.
Yeah.
Or you've got a lot of our clients have some form of dementia or Alzheimer's. So they think they've already bathed. So they are not just saying, I don't want a bath. They say, I don't need a bath. I already took one.
Right.
I took one yesterday. What do you mean I took one this morning?
So what do they do?
Exactly. So the caregiver has to get creative. You walk away. I will, in my mind, if it's you go in and you say, hey, you know, dad, it's time for a bath, let's say, right?
Yeah.
I've already had a bath. Okay. And you leave. Go do something. Go make some coffee, right? Mm-hmm. And say, go back in and give them a choice. And you say, hey, Dad, before, you know, Jim comes over to see you today, do you want your bath before or after Jim comes? Okay, well, let's go ahead and do it because Jim's about to be here. So give them a choice.
It's their idea.
It's their idea. They're still in control. Yeah. So you want to give your parents that independence. Independence is huge.
So you must get a ton of just thanks from the families.
We do, and we love it. We really do. We enjoy what we do because we love them. And, you know, while we're doing those services, we are there to love them and give them a good quality of life. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's such a needed service.
It is. It's more and more, I think, that
right.
you are.
Absolutely.
You know.
The growth is definitely there, and it's coming.
But how are we going to deal with the shortage of caregivers, though?
You're looking at not just caregivers. You're looking at the entire medical system.
Right. But, like, so what? How's that going to play out?
That's a good question. As a matter of fact, I was telling them, my daughter's at Auburn University right now. She's applying to get into the nursing division. So 2 years, and then you apply to get into upper nursing. So, you know, you've got these kids, you've got 250, 300 kids applying, but only half get in. So you've got all this interest in the medical field, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one example is Auburn. You've got Georgia Southern that has a great nursing program. Kennesaw State has a great nursing program, but they're only allowing so many people in. So they've got to the Board of Regents, I guess, right, is looking at and it needs to look at how to get more medical kids, you know, basically develop our children and get more
programs that can accommodate all the interest,
right?
Because
Absolutely.
The demand is going
to
be there.
Yeah, to encourage folks to go into these fields,
exactly.
First of all, and then provide the training and the education necessary to get them to.
Right.
The point
Why would
where they
be limiting it at this point when you need more and more?
Right. Exactly. So I guess the answer to that question is they don't have enough teachers. They don't have enough space, right, to provide.
Yeah.
More classes.
Yeah, education for that.
Exactly.
And I don't know whether society, is aware of that
right.
need.
Now, what about technology? What do you see, like, kind of robotic help or kind of apps or things to keep track of medication better or different things like that?
That's a good question. There's a lot of cool stuff that's out there. For our agency, we have a great system that we're able to have our caregivers clock in and clock out. So we know, let's say Patricia was getting care services for her dad, and she leaves for work at 7:30 in the morning, and that caregiver is supposed to come in at 9. So nobody's at that house, right? So we have a system that allows us to have the caregiver clock in. So she has a code and the client has a code. So we know the right caregiver's at the right house at the right time. And it alerts us in 10 minutes if for any reason that caregiver isn't clocked in properly. And we're calling and we're letting Patricia know, hey, everything's okay. She's just stuck in traffic. You know, she was in an event and it was raining outside and she is 5 minutes out. Your dad is fine. You know, so there's some programs like that out there for agencies like us as we move forward. And then there's some awesome products that are out there. You know, I mentioned the monitor earlier, and I didn't want to say the baby monitor, right?
Mm.
But all this ease of getting cameras in your home, how beautiful is that? And you can go in and check in on your seniors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you know, everybody always worries about the caregiver and the quality of those caregivers, especially if they're using somebody privately. Well, gosh, those cameras are great, aren't they? And then you know you can connect over your iPhone
with them.
You can have
conversations. Right.
Absolutely. You can talk to them over the iPhone and communicate with them there. So there's that. A pill dispenser. They have this huge pill dispenser. I think it's called Livi or L-I-V-I is one of the groups. And you can rent it or own it. I think owning it is about close to $850 to $1,000. But it can manage over 150 medications, basically, in it. So, you know, the daughter comes in once a month. She fills up those 30, you know, those 30 pills that you get or 60 or 90, and it knows, and you key into the system, basically its system, when the medication is supposed to be given. And then it will light up and beep until the medication, the mother or father comes over and picks up that medication.
So there are a lot of technology that's helping, but there's we just need more humans to help.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, we got some clients that are pretty savvy on the phone today and use Uber. You know,
yeah,
so
right.
You never know, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't ask Patricia. This is my show, Junko's Health, Wealth, and Happiness. So what do you do to increase your health, wealth, and happiness?
So, that's a good question. I try and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm a busy mom. So yeah. In addition to my law firm, I also have kids and they're both athletes, yeah. Which is great for their health. It leaves me a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I do try, I try and journal,
mm-hmm.
and exercise and, try and find time to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's Christmas time. So I love Hallmark Christmas movies. That's my little guilty pleasure. So just trying to find just a little bit of me time in the midst of all the craziness.
Great.
For sure.
How about Elizabeth?
Very good answer, because we watch those Hallmark Christmas as well. They're actually wonderful and relaxing and all that and good quality time.
Yeah.
I've been into yoga for a while, but most recently Pilates.
Yeah.
And trying to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really been a focus of mine. And you can imagine in my industry,
mm-hmm.
Every time I turn around, if I forget something, I'm like, am I getting early onset, Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
So I really do try to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And I have a new club Pilates that opened by my house, and I've jumped in to mm-hmm. it and love it in the evenings mm-hmm. and, enjoy that. And I grew up in a family that taught me how important family is and to nurture. And I have a saying, it's the little moments in time, right? It's not just big Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and all the stress that goes along with it.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there reading with your daughter, mm-hmm. that you have the ability to do, or your son. It's those little moments in time that I think make life wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I try to make as many of those as possible.
Yeah, wonderful.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. So if somebody wants to learn more about Angel Companions, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. You can call me or you can call the office at 770-579-5000. That's 770-579-5000. And anyone who will be more than happy to answer any of your questions.
And the website?
www.angelcompanions.us.
With an S.
With a U-S. Because if you go to the .com, I think it's a pet cemetery in another country. So
U-S.
www.angelcompanions.us. And we are more than happy to answer. Like I said, there's a form on there, or you can just kind of look over our services and what we provide. And we're more than happy to just answer questions, point you in the right direction, whether you use our services or not.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Absolutely. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Thank you both.
Thank you,
Junko. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Junko, for making this show happen. Thank you to Fujiyama Wealth Management. This is Lee Cantor for Junko Horvath. We will see you all next time on Junko's Health, Wealth, and Happiness Hour.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member, FINRA/SIPC. Registered representative, securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Fujiyama Wealth Management and Cambridge are not affiliated.